But over the last number of weeks, as I've been praying, as I've been asking the Lord, God, what do you have in store for us in 2018? What is the direction that you have for your people in 2018? Where are you leading us? What is it that we can look forward to? God brought me to two different scripture verses that I want to share with you this morning. It's our Vision Sunday, and I'm doing it a little bit differently than I've done it in the past. I want to share these two scriptures with you, and then I want to talk about something a little bit different with you this morning. I want you to look up on the screen, because I know you've already got your finger in 1 Peter 4, but I want you to look up at the screen, and what you're going to see there is Luke chapter 4, verse 18, and that's the Amplified C version, and this is what it says. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity." That's what God's word says. And for me, as the Lord is leading me in this, it was this idea that we are going to see captives set free. We are going to see captives set free in Jesus' name this year. And if you believe that with me this morning, we are going to walk together in this. We are each going to have a part to play in this around the people that we know, our circles of influence, maybe the people that we work with. God is going to give us opportunity to walk with people and encourage them and to see them set free. And so I really believe this year that in 2018, we're going to see many people set free, the captives set free. Because Jesus said, "I came here to save the hurting, the sick, the lost, the broken people. I came to set people free." And so the Lord sets us free. We are free in Jesus. Amen? Amen. And so I believe that this year, God is going to allow us to see many people set free from captivity. And it begins right here with us. And you can maybe sense the theme this morning as we've been in worship, as the Spirit has been moving, that God wants to set us free from anything that holds us back, from anything that holds us down, from being free in Jesus. Because in Jesus, being captive to anything is not God's plan for us. God's plan for us is freedom. God's plan for us is power in the name of Jesus. Power through the Holy Spirit. That's God's plan for us. And when we are captive, when we are chained down, we can't walk in that freedom, can we? Can we? No, we can't. No, we can't. And so I believe that this morning that we're going to see that. We're going to see captives set free. And so I want to encourage you this morning, maybe make a note of that. Maybe write that down in your Bible. Write that down in your notes. And in your prayer times, in your own personal devotional time, be praying. Be asking God, who is it that I'm going to have a part to play in their life to see them set free, to see captives set free? And so that's for you this morning. The other key verse, I believe, for 2018 is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And again, you can see it right up there on the screen. "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. For I can do everything, I can do all things," it says in another version. "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." And I believe, again, that works together with this other verse for us this year. That there are going to be times where we say, "God, I can't do this on my own strength." We will refer to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." In fact, can we say that together right now? Let's just speak it out together in faith. "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." God, we believe that this morning. I want you to just listen for a moment to the context, okay, that Paul speaks in verses 10 to 14. We look at verse 13 in chapter 4 of Philippians, but I want you to just take a moment and listen to the context of Paul in verses 10 to 14. That includes 13. It says this, "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again." Again, writing to the Philippians with the Philippian church. "I know that you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty." Now, this is important. I think you need to look at this. Because sometimes, again, we take that verse, right? Just that one verse. We take verse 13 and say, "Yes, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." But sometimes we need to really take a moment. We need to look at what surrounds that verse to have context. Paul is saying that I have learned to be content with whatever I have. And it is in that context that he says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So regardless of your context, regardless of what you may have a lot of or you may only have a little of, know that it is through Christ you can do all things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So that's an encouragement for you this morning. You know, for us to see captives set free this year, for us to do all things in and through Christ, we have to continue to move towards something here today. As a church, as a body, a family, like in any family, you have to develop strength. You have to develop strength in your relationships. You have to develop strength in your community. David referred to that. He said it's men doing life together. It's men in community together, I believe was the words that you shared. That's why we really believe that small groups are really important. Because being here right now is fantastic, but you're all facing in one direction, this way. And I'm facing towards you, and I'm sharing with you. This is not the context for building community, per se. You do spend some time in fellowship. You greet and meet and greet one another. You spend some time with coffee afterwards. But it's in that small group context that you actually go deeper in relationship. David, you would, I'm sure, say, Marvin, you're a part of that group as well. You go deeper in relationship. Greg, you're a part of that group, the men's group. You go deeper in relationship. Donna, you go deeper in relationship with the ladies that you spend time with on Friday mornings. You know, and I'm sure it's the same with the women's group on Tuesday evenings as well. But we go deeper when we spend time with one another. So I really believe today, if we're going to see captives be set free, if we're going to do all things through Christ, that we have to continue moving towards strengthening our community. Would anyone say amen to that in the house? We have to continue to move towards strengthening our community, building our bonds of love with one another. We need to continue to build that up. Because if we continue to come and go to church thinking it's just the same as ever and I can just come and go and I don't really need to extend myself to my brother or sister. Oh, yes, you do. Come on, come up, preach it. It's true. You do. You'll never get beyond the shallow surface level. And you'll wonder why you're so frustrated. Because that's not what church is supposed to be about. That's not what the family of God is supposed to be about. And so I want to talk to you this morning about some keys, three keys, because pastors like to do things in threes like that, right? Three keys. That's why I like those names, Levi, Leon, Lulu, three things. It's easy. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about three keys to healthy church community through healthy relationships, okay? Because I really do believe what I said. I really do believe that a healthy Christian is one that's always growing, always building better relationships with other people around them. And again, I'm not saying you don't do that at all. I know you do. I know you invite others to connect with and go and have coffee or go have lunch after church together or go for a boat ride or whatever it might be, whether it's on the ferry or on your own little boat, you know, whatever it might be. It's a boat ride. People were asking if I came over yesterday on the boat. I said, yes, I came on my yacht. I came over on the yacht, the BC Ferry. It was a very nice boat. It doesn't cost me too much to run it. But it's in healthy relationships that we go deeper. I mean, just having spent a very short amount of time with the folks that I was with from our church here yesterday, we had fun. We had fun together. We learned together. We grew together. We laughed. And I would say we cried, but we didn't cry. I might have cried a bit, but I don't think we did. Maybe Dan cried. We shared a room together, so he might have cried. So I was snoring a lot, but I do really believe that. We need to work on our community. And, you know, when we hear the word community, we might think of a neighborhood. We might think, yeah, our community. Gibson's is our town. It's our community. However, the word, it also refers to a group of people that are bound together by common interests, common values, common goals. It sounds a lot like our church, doesn't it? It sounds a lot like church. So let's just dive in and let's just focus for the next few minutes because I'm going to move through this quickly. We're going to focus on three needed elements for developing true community, to build healthy community in our church family and home, that we need to take the risk to care for other people, to trust other people, to invest some of ourselves in others. We need to invest some of ourselves in others and to be open and honest in our communication. I really, really believe that we need to do these things, because this morning we're going to talk about how we need to care for one another and build caring community. Number one, point number one is, this is one of our key things we need to do, is again, we need to continue to practice hospitality. Practice hospitality. Again, you've already have your finger in 1 Peter chapter 4, 7 to 10. Let's read what it says together. This is what it says. It says, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Maybe you remember Sandy coming up and making that announcement at Christmas time and said, hey, if there's somebody that is in need of a family at Christmas time for Christmas dinner, invite them. And you could sign up and stuff like that. And we're going to do that again next year. And maybe we'll do that at another point this year, because we're just going to keep doing that because we believe it's important in family to walk together, right? Amen. And so that's the key thing there. And so this is what it says here. Be cheerful. Share your home with those who need a place, a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Whatever your gifts are, use them. Use them to glorify, to build up the church. Don't just hang on to them for your own use, because the gift is for the body, not just for yourself. I encourage you in that. 1 Peter 4 talks about Christian conduct when we're suffering and when we don't deserve it. God's will, according to verse 19, is to trust God and to continue to do good. And in verses 9 and 10, Peter encourages Christians to continue to do two things that are essential to community. Show hospitality and use your spiritual gifts for others. You see, hospitality, if you don't know, translates a word that means to love strangers. Love strangers. How many of you have ever heard this other term, stranger danger? Stranger danger. Watch out for the man in the white van or something like that. You know, you hear these little things. Stranger danger. So when you hear this and it says, love strangers, you say, well, what about the stranger danger? What about the stranger danger? Love strangers. Care for those that are disenfranchised. Love people. There are many people that when they come to accept Jesus, they often lose their family. They often lose their friends. And sometimes they even lose their jobs. Ola rode over with us, and he shared some of his testimony. Ola, I hope you don't mind me just sharing a little bit. I won't share it all, but I want to share a little bit, something that was quite amazing. You were about 20 years old, you said, in Nigeria. You were a devout Muslim. Came to faith in Christ. One day I'm going to have you share your testimony. Devout Muslim. He meets Jesus. Jesus changes his life. Unfortunately, his dad, who's also a devout Muslim, said, you're going to die now. I'm going to kill you. Now, you can imagine that with a strong Nigerian accent. I'm going to kill you. That's not somebody you want to mess with. And so Ola took off. He had to run. Take some things and run. And for how many years did you not see your dad?
Four
years, you never saw your father because you knew that he was serious about what he had said. He's going to kill you. You did see him again after 4 years, and there's a story that goes with it, but I'm not going to share that because I want him to share that with you one day. You see, when people come to know Christ, they can lose everything. I know I've shared this with you. When I came to faith in Jesus, I was excommunicated by my family for a period of time, and I was only 15 and a half years old. And that was a challenge. And the church that I was a part of in my community, they really did try to encourage me the best that they could. But they'd never had someone come from a different faith background like myself to come to faith in Christ, and they just did the best they could, and it was all new to them. But my home church, they loved me even when I felt very alone. You see, back when in the Bible times, when traveling missionaries, they actually depended, those people, they depended on Christians to open their homes for them to stay. That was the tradition then. The lodges and the inns in that day, they were often very dangerous. They were often very dangerous. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 25 that those who welcomed fellow Christians who were strangers welcomed him. Look at what Matthew chapter 25, verse 35 to 40 says. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. And then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. You see, hospitality is one of the key building blocks in the first century, which tied churches together through this mutual service, and it provided a means of communication among them. And it was still crucial, it's actually still crucial today to building community, to building healthy church. And it's got to be a part of our vision to see that, because hospitality is the single greatest action that a church can take to see new believers come and to see newcomers feel welcome. There's a guy by the name of Alexander Strauch, and he said this in his book, Hospitality Commands. Hospitality is love in action. Hospitality is the flesh and muscle on the bones of love. So we build community through hospitality. We also build community by using our spiritual gifts. Peter said that every Christian has a spiritual gift. And a spiritual gift is an enablement which God gives God's people. He gives God's people that to use. And when it's used, the gift, again, it's not for our benefit, but it's for the benefit of others. This gift that we have, we steward that gift, okay? Do you know what I mean when I say steward? We steward, we hold, we care for that gift. We care for that gift. And so what we do is that we steward that gift that God has given us. It's not ours. But it's God's. He gives us that to us to use. And one day God will ask you to use that gift. He places it in your care to help the church. And so when we use our spiritual gift as God intends, the church becomes and does what God wants for the church. Here's the problem that happens sometimes. Sometimes we say, I have a spiritual gift and I have to use my spiritual gifts so I can feel like I'm, you know, doing what I'm supposed to do. And if I can't use my spiritual gift, then, you know, there's no place for me here. That can happen sometimes, believe it or not. I'm going to go somewhere where I can use my spiritual gift, where they'll let me use my spiritual gift. The problem with that thinking is it's kind of backwards. Instead of saying, I have to use my spiritual gift, and if I can't, I'm out. Peace. Yo. If that doesn't happen, what's supposed to happen is saying, how can I serve? How can I serve with my spiritual gift? How can I serve? Because it's not about me fulfilling this gift that God's given me. It's about me serving others. So I love worship, but I can't play an instrument and I can't read music and I try to carry a tune and I rely on these people that stand around and sing and play and use their gifts, because without them, it would be tough. So I say thank you to those of you that use your gifts to serve the church. Use your gifts to serve the church. And if you have gifts and you feel like, God, I want to use them, but I don't know how, talk to me. Talk to Leslie. Talk to one of the board members, one of your deacons. Because we want you to use your gifts to serve the church, to serve the body. Because we want to see a strong church. Hospitality and using our gifts for others are ways that we can build a caring community. We all need to have the mindset that says, Sometimes we need to think about this. You know, we are here in this church this morning, and you can be here and you can look around and you go, you know, there's some gaps. You might look around and you might say, hey, there's some people missing, some people I haven't seen in a while. Maybe I haven't seen them. Maybe I haven't been here myself. But maybe you're around and you think, oh, you know, this person or that person you haven't seen is part of the church family. You know, this is another part of hospitality. This is another part of care. What we can do is we can actually say, I'm going to call them. I'm going to step out and find out where they're at. Well, I haven't seen them in a while. I did that with my sister here, wondering where they're at, how they're doing. And I'm glad to see you. You see, we have a responsibility to care for each other. Like every church out there, we are a work in progress. And we will never get to the point where everyone is cared for perfectly and that no one will ever fall through the cracks. But we have to take seriously the issue of caring for our church family. That's how we build community. So how can we help to build that caring community? The second point is this: show kindness. I'm going to go quick here. Show kindness. Look at what 1 Thessalonians 5:14 to 15 says. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. That's fun. Encourage those who are timid. I like that one better. Take tender care of those who are weak. That's a good one. Be patient with everyone. It can be tough. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. You see, Paul sees the church as the family of God. He uses the words brother and sister several times, and the fact is that we belong to the same family should really reflect, it should really affect our behavior towards one another. In verse 14, we see a list of the church's problem people: the lazy, the fearful, those who find it difficult to live moral lives, disciplined lives. He tells the church to hold on to them. Hold on to them. Put your arms around them. Don't let them go. They're frustrating, but be patient with them. And you might be sitting here going, yeah, there are some frustrating people. You might be one of them. Okay? I'm just saying, you might be one of them. Because how does it work when you're pointing one finger at someone, there's, what, three pointing back at you? We show kindness when we go out of our way to care for people in need, even if it feels uncomfortable to do so. And from time to time, again, in any group of people, I don't care where you are, you're going to say something, something's going to happen, it's going to be said, and it's going to hurt someone. Someone's going to get hurt. Anybody ever been hurt in the church? By church? Don't raise a hand. No, you can't. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'll raise two hands. If I had three, I'd raise three. Yeah, I've been hurt in the church. I think we've all probably been hurt in the church at some point. It happens because we're people. And we can be very tempted to hurt them back, can't we? I won't ask you to raise your hand if you've hurt anyone back. But we can be really tempted to do that. Paul says that we have to develop and grow in patience. Understand how not to retaliate and pursue kindness in order to build community. To build a caring community in our church and in our homes, we have to practice hospitality. We have to show kindness. And last point is we need to share the good news. We need to share the good news. We need to share the love of Jesus in our own lives with other people. You see, God's love, we all know this, is for all people. It doesn't matter where you come from or what you've done. When we understand and we live the gospel of Jesus Christ, it not only involves our relationship with God, but with others as well. The story of the Samaritan woman at the well is a perfect example of that. In John chapter 4, verse 9 and 14, the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She says this to Jesus: you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? And Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't even have a rope or a bucket, she said. And this is a very deep well. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob? He's probably thinking like, oh, yeah, kind of. Who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Probably said it like that too, huh? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. Yeah. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Jesus, the rabbi, talking to a woman is shocking. Her place in life doesn't stop Jesus from sharing the good news with her. She doesn't know who she's talking to, and she doesn't know this amazing gift that he has to offer her, but she soon finds out that he is far greater than Jacob who dug the well, and he offers her the gift of eternal life through the Holy Spirit. So she has never known that kind of lasting satisfaction before. And there are people that are all around us that have never known that kind of lasting satisfaction. They drink water every day and they get thirsty again. But the water that is within us, the living water, again, like the gifts that God gives us, it's not just for us, it's for others. And so we need to be encouraged to share that, to share that. Like this woman, when she finds out who he is and what he has to offer, she accepts him right there and then and shares that with others right away. You know, if you were to look at Acts chapter 2, you'd know that there were 3,000 people that got saved right there and then in Acts chapter 3. Do you know what they did? It says next, we're told that they gathered every day in the temple. They gathered every day in the temple and they taught in the houses where they spent time together and they ate together. And God added to their number daily. God added to their number daily. What would it look like here in our lives if God was adding to our numbers daily? It'd be pretty amazing, absolutely amazing. So God is at work in this way. And so we need to, again, go and share this living water that we have within us. Share this with those who need to hear. Sharing the good news. It gives us a heart for God, and it gives us a heart for others that God loves. Finally, how do we help to build a healthy, caring community? We can't be afraid to step into someone's life who's in need because we don't know what to say to them. I've said this before, and I'll continue to say this. Don't be afraid to step into someone's life because you feel like, I don't know what I'm going to say. What if they ask a really hard question and I don't have the answer? We have to trust that as we pray and we step out in faith, in love, that the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say or not say. That we will know what to do because we are people of the Spirit and we walk in the Spirit. So don't be afraid to step out. John chapter 13, verse 34 says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Well, many of you here, and I'm going to close with this. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. Many of you here have known each other for many, many years. You've known each other, not just because you're married to each other, but you've known each other for many years because you've been part of the same church family for many years. And so I ask you this question. How will you care for each other in 2018? How will you care for each other this year? As I close this morning, I want to encourage you that as we move forward, that God is with us. That I really do believe that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. That I really do believe that captives will be set free and can be set free and are being set free even today. And if you're here this morning and you're one of those people, that you can be set free today. That you can know Jesus today. I want to encourage you to value your family. To value the family of God. To care for your family. It is not someone else's responsibility to do that. It is our responsibility to care for each other. And that is healthy community. Why don't you stand with me? Practice hospitality today. Show kindness today. And share the good news today. We're going to have a time of fellowship after, where we're going to celebrate two awesome family moments together. These are family moments that we're going to celebrate together. And that's a milestone 80th birthday with Elsie and three beautiful children being dedicated to the Lord this morning. We're going to celebrate a family moment together. And so you're all invited to be a part of that, to stay, to celebrate that time together with some cake and fellowship. And bless Elsie. And bless Jason and Amber and their children today. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to invite you to pray with me this morning. And then we're going to close with a song. That we would be people, I'm going to pray that we would be people who are known for the love that we have for each other.